Good morning. Thank you very, very much for coming through the snow to learn Hashem's Torah here, Masechet Pesachim, Daf Ayin Gimel. We are in the midst of the discussion of the topic of our Mishnah, which was Toeh B'Dvar Mitzvah. If somebody makes a mistake, and because of the mistake, ends up on Shabbos, slaughtering something. So it's Erev Pesach, which is Shabbos. He slaughters an animal as Karban Pesach. And then he discovers that the animal's owners have all died. Or he made a different mistake. He slaughtered the Karban Pesach for the wrong sanctity. So after midday, after the Karban Tamid Shel Bein Arba'im, you can only offer a Karban Pesach if he slaughters it as a Shlamim. So it got disqualified. So the Mishnah taught, so okay, he made a mistake. If he could have known about this, right, if the owners died and he had no way of knowing, he's an Anus. But if he could have known that he can't be slaughtering this Karban, so he's doing it on Shabbos, it's a Shogeg. He will have to bring a sin offering for violating Shabbos. It's a shogeg. He didn't know better. That brings a chatas, but he can't say he's exempt because he was trying to do a mitzvah. If you're trying to do a mitzvah and you do fulfill a bit of a mitzvah, that's the case where he slaughters a shlamim that was 1 year old. He slaughtered it as a Pesach, so that already fulfills a mitzvah. It's a shlamim that's slaughtered for the wrong sanctity. So all karbanos slaughtered for the wrong sanctity other than chatas and pesach. So the karban is kosher. It just doesn't fulfill the obligations. So if on Erev Pesach, which is Shabbos, he takes an animal which was a shlamim, and it's only a year old, it could have been a pesach, and he slaughters it as a pesach. So that's an animal that you're slaughtering it for the wrong sanctity. So it is a mitzvah. So then if he's toeh b'dvar mitzvah, he's stressed trying to do a mitzvah, because it's time to bring Erev Pesach, time to bring Karban Pesach. And he actually fulfilled the mitzvah. So then already, according to one view, according to Rabbi Yeshua, he's exempt from bringing a sin offering. Okay, so now it's the two dots. Here in Ayin Gimel, Amud Aleph. The Mishnah said, Shchato Shalola Ochlav, if it's Erev Pesach, which is Shabbos, and he slaughters the Karban Pesach, for people who can't eat it. He takes his Karban Pesach and he says, I'm slaughtering it for, you know, Mr. So-and-so who lives in the nursing home, who doesn't have teeth, he can't eat any meat, I'm slaughtering it for him. So slaughtering a Karban for people who can't eat it is possible. The essence of the Karban Pesach is that it be eaten. So if he did this on Shabbos, and now he has to bring a sin offering for having violated Shabbos. So Gemara says, Pshita, of course, even the Hassan Pasul, since in the last parak we learned that when you slaughter a Karban Pesach for people who don't eat, it's a disqualified Karban. Then Hacha, then over here where you're doing that on a Shabbos, Chayiv, you'd have to bring a sin offering. Someone says, okay, this point is in fact simple. But Mishum Detana Seifa Pater, but because we're going to say another case, we're going to say though, if you slaughter the Karban Pesach for people who can't eat, and for people who could eat on a Shabbos, which is Erev Pesach, so then you're pater, you're exempt from the sin offering because your Karban Pesach is a kosher Karban. It's on a Reisha Chayiv. That's why it also said the first case, that if you slaughter the Karban Pesach for people who don't eat on a Shabbos, so that's a sin. So now you have to bring a sin offering. So Gemara says, well, Hanami Pshita. Again, the latter line of the Mishnah is also obvious. Mishum Dahasam Kasher, once we said in the earlier parak, that if you slaughter a Karban Pesach for people who do eat and people who don't eat, it's a Kasher Karban Pesach. Then obviously, if it's a Kasher Karban Pesach, if you did it on Shabbos, Hacha Pater, if you did it on Shabbos, you would be exempt. Ella says the Gemara, I did a Tana Shachto Shalo L'Shmo B'Shabbos, since it said, if you slaughter it on Shabbos, if you slaughter the Karban Pesach on Shabbos for a shlamim or for some other Karban, then it's a sin. You have to bring a Karban Chatas because it was wrong. So then it also mentions that if you slaughtered the carbon Pesach, for people who can't eat it, you have to bring a sin offering. So one second, but he goofa lamali, but why is that so important to talk about slaughtering it shelo l'shmo? Because we want to get to the argument between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. But if you slaughter a shlamim for a Pesach, on Erev Pesach, which is Shabbos, and this shlamim could have been a Pesach, then here you have an argument. But here Rabbi Elazar holds, it's still a sin offering. It's still something which obligates you to bring a sin offering. And Rabbi Yeshua holds that you don't have to bring a sin offering because you were trying to do a mitzvah and you ended up doing a mitzvah. So because we want to tell you that case, therefore we talk about all these other cases too. We talk about the case of where you slaughter the carbon Pesach for a shlamim. We talk about the case where you slaughter the carbon Pesach for people who can't eat it. And we talk about the case where you slaughter the carbon Pesach for people who can't eat it and for people who could eat it. Yeah, question. Baruch.
Yeah. How about when you want to do korbanot and the animal is not healthy, you're holding it long?
Good.
Does he have to bring the sin offering too? What's it his fault?
Oh, if it wasn't his fault, then he would not have to bring a sin offering. But here the question is, right? That's right. If it was not his fault, he would not have to bring the sin offering. But if it was his fault that he could have checked it and found it, then if he did it on Shabbos, he'd have to bring a sin offering during the week, not. So Amalei Rav Huna bar Chinuna lebrei. Rav Huna, the son of Chinuna, said to his son, Ki azas l'kamadir Rav Zrika, when you go before Rav Zrika, Bo'eminei, ask him the following question. Question on the whole Mishnah. The Divrei Omer Mekalka B'chabura Pater. We know that we have a rule in Masechta Shabbos that the Torah describes Malacha in regards to building the Mishkan. The Torah didn't really describe what is the Malacha in regards to Shabbos. In regards to Shabbos, it just says, Lo Sasako Malacha. Don't do Malacha. It doesn't say, what is Malacha? We know what Malacha is based on what Malacha was for the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, the Torah said, it's Malechas Machsheves. It's deliberate thought. It's a work of thought. Now, when somebody's destructive, somebody tears down a house, somebody rips their clothing, somebody who burns down a city, that's not thoughtful. That you'd say is craziness. So, Mekalkel on Shabbos is pater. Generally, somebody who does a destructive act on Shabbos, he's exempt. But what about the malacha of making somebody bleed? Isn't that almost always destructive? So it could be that that's different, since it's almost always destructive there. Even if it's destructive, you're obligated. But there's an argument. There are those who say that makalke, that chabura, making somebody bleed, you're only chayiv if it's a constructive act. What would be a constructive act? You wanted to feed your dog blood. So you made Yaakov bleed, so you got some blood for your dog. But stam, to hit Yaakov and make him bleed because you're angry at him or whatever, a destructive act, you're exempt. So, now the question. Rav Huna, the son of Chinuna, said to his son, when you go in front of Reb Zrika, ask him the following question. According to the opinion that holds that even in Chabura, even in making something bleed, if it's Makalkal, if it's destructive, you're exempt. So if that's true, then it's not a Malach on Shabbos if it was destructive. So now let's deal with our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, it's Erev Pesach, which is Shabbos. A guy takes his carbon Pesach and he slaughters it for people who can't eat it. Okay, not a good carbon Pesach, and it was Shabbos, he slaughtered. He needs to bring now a sin offering for violating Shabbos. I understand, why does he bring a sin offering? He was just being destructive. Matikin, what did he fix? What did he do? How was this constructive? Answer the Gemara, I'll tell you. Tikkun, it's constructive, even though it's not a kosher karban. Im alu lo yerdu. That if somebody were to take this animal that was slaughtered for people who can't eat it and put it on the mizbeach, it wouldn't come down. We would leave it there. So, bidi eved, we would let it get burned in the mizbeach. So therefore, it is considered a constructive act. This is the rule Rashi says, karbanos that became pasul in the azara. In other words, it wasn't that it was pasul beforehand, that it was blemished or something like that. In the azara, in the Beis HaMikdash, something happened to make it pasul. The rule is that those karbanos, if they go onto the mizbeach, they stay there. So that's what makes it a constructive act in order to obligate him in a sin offering. So ask the Gemara, but let's go further in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says Shchato, if you slaughter the Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach, which is Shabbos, then it's a Balmum. And it turns out that the animal that you slaughtered has a blemish. What Baruch pointed out. It turned out that it was blemished. So you should have checked it before. You had no business slaughtering. So chayiv. So now you have to bring a sin offering. Again, let's ask the same question. You're slaughtering on Shabbos. Slaughtering is making something bleed. Matikin. How's this a constructive act? This is a destructive act. A destructive act should not obligate you for any type of Shabbos violation. It's the Gemara. Well, it depends on what type of blemish. Tikin bedukin shiva ein. If the blemish is only some, you know, filament in the eyes. According to Rabbi Akiva, the Amar, he said, in such a case, im alu lo yeredu, an animal that was blemished with dukin shaba'ayin, with a slit in the eyelashes, if it goes onto the mizbeach, doesn't come down. So therefore, the shechita was something which was constructive. It accomplished that if this carbon would go onto the mizbeach, it wouldn't come down. Asks the Gemara, shechata v'nimtza trefa, v'seser pater. The Mishnah said, you slaughter the Korban Pesach on an Erev Pesach, which is Shabbos, and it turns out that it's a trefa, that it has a hole in the lung, so it's still kosher. So now it's not a kosher carbon, but since it was out of your control, that's not a violation of Shabbos that you have to bring a sin offering for. Implying Kabba Galui, but if it was the type of trefa that is revealed, Chayiv, then you would have to bring a sin offering. Again, the question is, Matikin, how is this constructive? It's a destructive act. Answer the Gemara. Tikin lo tzmidei nevela. It's constructive in the fact that through it having a shechita, it's not an animal that just drops dead. An animal that just drops dead is tame, has tumas nevela. Through shechting it, even though it's a trefa, it doesn't have the tumah of nevela. Maskel Ravina. Ravina challenged this. We learned hadatani. We learned in a brisa. Hashochet chatos b'shabes b'chutz lavodazar. If a guy takes an animal that he had made holy as a korban chatas, and instead of slaughtering it in the Beis HaMikdash, he slaughters it outside the Beis HaMikdash. But not only does he do that, he slaughters it on a Shabbos. Not only does he do that, but when he's slaughtering it on a Shabbos, he says, I'm slaughtering it for Avodah Zarah. So now it became Takrovas Avodah Zarah, an offering to some idol. So Chayav Aleha Shalosh Chatos. If this was well a mistake, he has to bring three sin offerings. One sin offering for violating Shabbos, one sin offering for Avodah Zarah, and one sin offering for slaughtering a carbon outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So now, you say violating Shabbos. I understand. If it's a disqualified carbon, Matikin, how is it a constructive act? You only violate Shabbos with constructive acts, but not with a ruinous act. This is a ruinous act. What are you going to say? Oh, but through the slaughter, it doesn't have tumah, right? That's what we said before. Through the slaughter of the trefa, there's no tumah. Not true. When you have an offering to Avodah Zarah, that itself makes it tameh. It's an offering to Avodah Zarah. This act is an act of offering to Avodah Zarah. It is tameh. So in what way is this constructive? Amar Avira, Avira said an amazing thing. I'll tell you what it is. It's constructive. Shemotziomi de'ever menachai. Through the slaughter, it's not living anymore. If it would be living and a non-Jew would take from it, the non-Jew would be violating the law of Eiver Min HaChayiv, eating from a living animal. So through this act of slaughter on Shabbos of a Korban Chatas outside of Beis HaMikdash, it's not going to be Eiver Min HaChayiv. Listen to Rashi, Midei Eiver Min HaChayiv Levnei Noach. This helps the non-Jews. Shem Achlo Eino Nerag. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Sanhedrin that the non-Jews, they don't have the whole judicial system that we have. They have a very simple judicial system. Seven laws, and any violation, death. There's no different standards. Stealing, death. Kidnapping, death. Cursing God's name, death. Avodah Zarah, death. Gilui Arayos, death. Eiver Min HaChayiv, death. A non-Jew who takes a living animal and eats it, death, that's the law. Deserves death if there'd be a Sanhedrin ruling things. So that's what, that was the constructive act. That now a non-Jew who eats from this animal won't die because it's not Eiver Min HaChayiv, because he slaughtered it. So since it's constructive and that it takes away the prohibition of Eiver Min HaChayiv, that's what can enable violation of Shabbos and having to bring a sin offering for the act of slaughter. Okay, so now we're going to get into a new topic. We'll eventually come back to our Mishnah. And this is the topic of when you have a karban asham. Izzy, a question, please.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But the guy that did the shrita and did three averot, all his kavanah was to do averot, not to do any mitzvah. So how could that be that we're waiting for Eber Min Achai?
So I think in terms of Eber Min Achai, it doesn't depend on kavanah. I think Eber Min Achai is, it helped. It helped the non-Jew. Now the non-Jew is not going to die from eating this. So since it was an act which is to'elet, it helps, it's already considered not mekalkel. It's not ruinous. Yeah. And therefore, even without thinking of any particular mitzvah, he did a sin on Shabbos. Therefore, it was melechas machshavas, it was constructive. And he has to bring a sin offering for Shabbos, a sin offering for Avodah Zarah, and a sin offering for Shchutei Chutz. So the Mishnah discusses a fellow who slaughters the Korban Pesach on a Shabbos, which is Erev Pesach. And then he discovers that the owners have pulled out of this Korban Pesach. Then he discovers that the owners died, that the owners became tamei. So he's exempt because he didn't have a way of knowing this. And when he slaughtered, he thought it was a good carbon. Okay, that was the Mishnah. So now we move into a new topic, and that is an asham, a carbon asham whose owners die. There's a big argument in Masechet Zvachim whether a carbon asham is compared to in Masechet Tzmura, if a carbon asham is compared to a chatas. We know that a chatas whose owners died, there's halacha l'Moshe Sinai, that the chatas has to die. What about if an asham, the owner of the asham, dies? So let's see. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Ashi. Rav Huna said in the name of Rav Ashi. Asham, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. I'm sorry. Rav Huna said in the name of Rav. That's very important. It's in the name of Rav. We'll see that there are actually several different versions of Rav. But this version, Rav Huna's version of Rav. Rav Huna said in the name of Rav. Asham shenitak l'ra'iyah. Let's say you had an asham that you had to hand it over, and you did hand it over to the shepherd. So Rashi explains, the owners of the asham died. So that could be one case. Or the case could be that the asham got lost. So the owners took a different animal. They brought this other animal as the asham. And now they discover, they find the original asham.
Who brings an asham?
Metzora brings an asham, somebody who is mo'el, somebody who steals from Hektesh, brings an asham, a guard, a watchman who swore falsely and then admitted, really, the object wasn't lost, I had it. So he brings an asham. So they're both guilt offerings. The chatas is only for a sin that were you to do it on purpose, you would get kares. Doing it by mistake, you bring the chatas. The asham is like the chatas. It's kadshe kadshim. It's the highest level of holiness. But it's a guilt offering. It exists for sins that don't have a chi of kares on purpose, don't have a penalty of kares. And we'll see that this law is a key difference, that if the owner of a chatas dies, or the owner of the chatas got kapara somewhere else, that chatas is put to death. But with an asham, it's different. So an asham whose owner doesn't need it anymore, because maybe he lost it in a different, and now he found it after he got kapara from a different animal, or the asham, the owner died. So Rav says, an asham shenita klira'iyah. Such an asham that was now given to a shepherd. Now the point is that once you don't need it to be brought as a karban, so now you're not going to watch it anymore, and you can allow a shepherd to just have it with the other animals and allow it to become blemished. And once it becomes blemished, then you sell it, and the money that you get from the sale goes for the donation boxes in the Beis HaMikdash, for the olos, Olos Nedava, Karbanos Olos, that are gift offerings for Kayat Samizbeach, to keep the altar busy. So again, Rav says, you have an Asham whose owner died, or the Asham got lost, and another Asham was brought in its place, and now you found it. So Shanita Gluriya, you handed over the Asham to the shepherd so that the shepherd would pasture it, and hopefully it would get blemished. Once it would get blemished, you're going to sell it and use the money, donate the money to the boxes that are used to buy the olos to keep the Mizbeach busy. But instead of that happening, Vishachto Stam. He just took this animal into Beis HaMikdash before it got a blemish, and he slaughtered it without saying anything. So according to Rav, this animal now can be brought as an Ola. Alma Kasavar, so apparently he holds, Lo Bayakira, you don't need to make a declaration and uproot the Asham status for it to be considered an Ola. And the logic is, since were it to get blemished and you were to sell it, the value would go for Ola. It's already going for Ola, and even without making declarations, it becomes an Ola. So Ihach, if that's the case, that's the Chiddush of Rav. Ihach, if that's the case, asks the Gemara, Kilo Nitzak Nami. So why is this only once he gave it to the shepherd, that if he then took it from the shepherd and slaughters it, we'll just say it's an Ola? Even if he doesn't give it to the shepherd, we should say the same thing. If you have an Asham that's no longer needed, and you bring it to the Beis HaMikdash and you slaughter it, it should be an Ola automatically. The answer is Gzeira la'acha kapara to lifnei kapara. If you didn't give it first to the shepherd, so why are you taking this Asham and slaughtering it, and we're saying that the unattributed slaughter is an act of slaughtering an Ola, because you already gained its atonement. But if we would say that you could do it without giving it to the shepherd, people are going to think even before they don't need the Asham, even when they still need this Asham, they'll just think an Asham and Ola are interchangeable. They'll make an animal an Asham and say, oh, but I need an Ola. I'll offer it now as an Ola. That doesn't work. You can't take an animal with a particular sanctity and redirect the sanctity. So because they might do it lifnei kapara, therefore they might also do it l'acha kapara, therefore they didn't allow it acha kapara only once it was nitak l'roa, once it was given to the shepherd. So, umina temra. And how do I know to tell you this, that we make such a decree, that we're worried that lifnei kapara might happen if we allow something la'acha kapara, after atonement was already garnered? It's not, we looked in a Mishnah. Asham shemesu ba'alav. If you have an asham and its owners died, oshenes kapru ba'alav. Or you have an asham and it got lost, you took a different animal as the asham in its place, you got atonement through that other animal, and now you found the original Asham. So now that you found the original Asham, you don't need it to create atonement. You already got atonement. Or we don't need it to create atonement because the owner's died. He got atonement because he died. So when you have an Asham that's not needed to be offered, yira achi yistayev. So different opinions in the Mishnah. Opinion number one, let it pasture until it gets a blemish. Once it gets a blemish, yimacher, let it be sold. Yiplu dama v'nadava. And then use the money, put them into the boxes for the olos nadava, for the donated olos. That's opinion number one. Rebbe Eliezer Omer Belezer says no. Yamos, it has to die. Because as the Gemara says, Rebbe Eliezer in the Masechta Zvachim says that an asham is like a chatas. So just like in a chatas, if the owners die, then the animal has to be allowed to die. You can't fix it in any way. He thinks the same with an asham. He also thinks that just like a chatas, which is slaughtered shalol l'shma, is pasul, an Asham slaughtered Shalol Lishma would be Pasha. And Rabbi Yeshua says, you give it to the shepherd, let it get a blemish, Yimacher. Then you sell it, V'yavi b'damav Ola. And then with the money, you bring your own Ola. Instead of donating the money for the communal Olos, you bring your own Ola. Now, as the Gemara will point out in Tzmura, if you're bringing your own Ola, you'll get to lean on it, whereas the communal owned Olos, nobody gets to lean on it. So now, what did Rabbi Yeshua say? B'damav in. You let the Asham pasture get a blemish, and then sell it, and with the money of it, you can bring an Ola. Avol gufo lo. He didn't say that this Asham, which is no longer needed itself, can be brought an ola. Now, why not? He holds that the money is used for your own ola, not for the communal ola. So why can't you use this asham itself as your own ola? So apparently, this is the point. If you'd allow the person to bring the asham as his own ola after he already got atonement, people might make a mistake and bring an asham as an ola before they get atonement. That's a problem. If you, before a person got atonement, you have an animal that's sanctified as an asham, to now redirect it as an ola is not allowed. So Shmaminas, we see from here that there is this decree. So this is again, Rav Huna says in the name of Rav, if you have an asham, which is no longer needed to garner an asham atonement for you, because the owner died, or the asham had been missing for a while, or just something else was brought in its place, so give it over to the shepherd. Once it's given to the shepherd, if you slaughter it, now it's going to be an ola. But if you didn't give it to the shepherd, you're not allowed to slaughter it and make it into an ola. Eisvei Rav Chisda or Rav Huna. Rav Chisda challenged this idea of Rav Huna. Our Mishnah. Erev Pesach, which is Shabbos. Shachtu, they slaughter the Karban Pesach. And then, Venoda, then he gets told, Shemashu Ba'alam Es Yadam, the owners have pulled out of this Karban Pesach. Turns out that it was a sin. So, he said, he didn't know any better. This potter, he doesn't have to bring a sin offering. But Tani, I love, we learned in a Braisa. Let's say you have a Karban Pesach. And you slaughter the Karban Pesach on behalf of the group. Bachol, and it's on an Erev Pesach, which is a weekday. Kihai Gavna, you slaughter the Karban Pesach on behalf of the group, this Braisa says. And you find out, after you slaughter the Karban Pesach, that you know all the owners have pulled out of this Karban Pesach. Find out that all the owners have pulled out of this Karban Pesach. So now, Yisaref Miyad. Raisa says, during the week, you would burn this Karban Pesach right away. You'd burn it right away. Now, there are different types of disqualified karbanos. There are disqualifications that are called psul begufo, a disqualification that's intrinsic. And then there are disqualifications from external factors. A carbon which is disqualified intrinsically, right away you burn it. A carbon that's only disqualified from an external factor, so it's a light disqualification, it's disrespectful to burn it. So you actually have to leave it till it becomes disqualified with lina. You have to leave it for a night till it becomes nosar, and then the next day you burn it. So what do we see here? We see here that this braisa on our Mishnah says that a Karban Pesach without owners is an intrinsic disqualification. If somebody slaughtered a Karban Pesach during the week, on an Erev Pesach, which is during the week, and then he found out that it doesn't have any owners, the owners pulled out, so then it's a intrinsic disqualification, the meat gets burned right away. Meat gets burned right away. Amr Bishlama, if you're going to tell me by Yakira that in order to redirect a carbon, you need to make a declaration. I'm uprooting the pre-status and now giving it a new status. So this animal, where you didn't make a declaration saying that it is a shlamim, it was a Pesach, because he didn't declare that it's a shlamim. It came into Leslei Bailam, and it's a Pesach without owners. Havalei psula begufo, it has an intrinsic disqualification. And amatu lahachi, and because that's the case, it's an intrinsic disqualification, yisaref miyad, it gets burned right away. Eli amarta, but if you're going to say what Rav said, lo bo yakira, you don't need to declare what was an asham is now ola. You don't need to do that. Since the value of this asham is going to go for ola, just min astam, it automatically can become an ola. You can slaughter it, and without making a declaration, it will be now an ola. So that means you can change things without a declaration. So now, when you have an Erev Pesach, a Karban Pesach, without owners, because the owners pulled out of this animal, so what could this Karban now be? Right? When you have a Karban Pesach, let's say, that gets lost, and another animal is brought in its place, and then you find the Karban Pesach, it becomes a shlamim. becomes a shlemim. So this animal without owners should be a shlemim. If you say that the status can happen without a declaration, then it is a shlemim on Erev Pesach. So why is it disqualified? So now it's not an intrinsic disqualification. It's only an external disqualification. Namely, that on Erev Pesach, you slaughtered a shlemim at the wrong time. You slaughtered it after the Tamid Shel Bein Arbaim. Because Shachet Le'achar Tamid Shel Bein Arbaim, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah saseh of Ashlama, that all karbanos should be part of the morning karban tamid. So if so, Ibur Tzura Ba'i, then you shouldn't be able to burn it right away. You should have to leave it over for the night until it gets ruined with an intrinsic disqualification, and then burn it. The Tanakh, because we have a rule in a brisa, Zeh Klal, this is the rule. Kol Shapsula Begufa, when you have a carbon with an intrinsic disqualification, let's say that when doing the carbon, the Kohen contaminated it with thinking that he's going to eat it at the wrong time. So then you serve miyad, and it gets burned right away. But if there's an external disqualification, let's say in the dam, in the blood, for example, that instead of the blood going from the neck of the animal into the cup, the blood went from the neck of the animal after it was slaughtered to the floor, and then they picked it up off of the floor. Or there's some disqualification in the owner, right? The carbon was slaughtered, and then the owners died. So the law is then tubar tsuraso. Then the karban, you have to wait until the morning, till it's nosar. And then you yetzi lebeis hasreifa. Then you can burn it. So you see from here that Rav is wrong. Rav was saying that when you have a karban asham, whose owners die, and you give it to the shepherd, so then it's automatically, without a declaration, it's no longer an asham. Now it switches to be an ola. If you slaughter it stam, it's a fine ola. What do you mean it's a fine ola? You need to make a declaration. If you don't make a declaration, it's still going to be the old carbon. It's going to be the asham. That's what we see in Pesach. In Pesach we say that if you have a carbon Pesach whose owners die, if you didn't make a declaration about the Pesach, it's still considered a Pesach, which is disqualified. Not that it's a shlamim. Ella, so you have to change what Rav said. Lo tema, don't say that the asham that was given to the shepherd and shchato stam, and you slaughter it without a declaration, is kasher l'shem ola, is kasher as an ola. Elema, but rather say the opposite, that Rav holds you have to make a declaration. Shchato l'shem ola, if he slaughters it and says, I'm slaughtering an ola now, now it becomes kasher, and alma bai akira. So you see that you need to have an uprooting. You need to declare that you're switching is switching the holiness, and otherwise it's not considered a switch of the holiness. Says the Gemara, what about what we learned earlier? Uler Pchia Bar Gamda. What about according to Pchia Bar Gamda? Amru said, Nizrikum Vichabur Va'amru. All the sages agreed, and they said, Kagon Shahayu Bailam Tmei Mason. In the Mishnah earlier, it was talking about where the owners of the Karban were Tmei Mace, and therefore Venitchin Le Pesach Sheni. And that's why this Karban was going to be used, the Karban Pesach was going to be offered on Pesach Sheni. Since it was going to be a Pesach Sheni, that's why they had to declare that it's a Shlamim to remove from it the status of Shlamim. If they slaughtered on Chol HaMoed with Chametz in their homes, they would not be violating the law of Lo Tishrat al Chametz Tam Zivchi, because their carbon was a carbon Pesach that was slaughtered at the wrong time. So it's a shchita she'ena ru'uya. So now, hi, carbon Pesach of Tamei Meisim, Hudabai Akira. That's the carbon Pesach where you need to uproot it. Haba Alma, apparently without those conditions, lo bai akira, you don't need to explicitly uproot the status. So now, ma'ika l'meimar. So now what are you going to say? How's he going to explain this braisa, that a carbon Pesach that was slaughtered on a weekday, and you find out that the owners have died, that they pulled out, you just burned the carbon Pesach, and understand, if the carbon Pesach does not need an uprooting, so if the owners died, automatically it became a shlamim. And if it became a shlamim, so it doesn't have such a big problem. It's just being offered at a little bit of the wrong time. Why should you be able to burn it right away? Hello, I'm Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua. So therefore, Rav Huna, the son of Yeshua, said, no, Rav holds, you don't need to explicitly uproot the status of a karban to switch its status. So therefore, let's go back to the original version of what he said in regards to an asham. An asham that was given to the shepherd because the owners don't need it anymore, and now the owners come and slaughter it, automatically it becomes an ola. It's kosher to be an ola. Hachab in our brice that we said, that a carbon Pesach, whose owners don't need it anymore, and it was slaughtered, the carbon Pesach gets burned, so we ask, why should it be burned? It's only a slight, if you can have a switch of sanctity automatically. So this carbon Pesach became a shlamim. Once it became a shlamim, it's not that badly possible. It's just the assay of hashlama. You should have to make it no sir to be able to burn it. Ach, over here by my askina, what are we dealing with? Kagon, in the following case. He sent, the group that was buying the carbon sent somebody to buy a sheep. Kagon sheif rishu kodom chatzos. So that person who bought the sheep dedicated it as a Pesach before the middle of the day. Then Mesu Balim, then the owners died. Acher Chatzos, after the middle of the day. So the Havalei Nirav Nidcha. So you had this sheep that was going to be a Karban Pesach because came the middle of the day, the time of the offering of the Karban Pesach, it had owners. Then they died. So therefore, it was Nirav Nidcha. It's called Dachoy. The kol nira v'nitcha, something which was appropriate, and then gets disqualified. Shuvin achoz v'nira stays disqualified, and that's why you can just burn it the way it is. You don't have to wait till it becomes noser. Says the Gemara, 1 second. Midu time el rav. We're just trying to explain the view of Rav. Amar Rav bali chaim ein nitzachim. Rav holds that living creatures don't have the law of dichui. El amar Rav Papas. Therefore, Rav Papas said, really, Rav holds. You don't need to declare that you're changing the sanctity to change the sanctity. A carbon Pesach whose owners have pulled out of it because they die or they became tamei, on its own shifts over to be a carbon shlamim. If it's a carbon shlamim, why if it was slaughtered, do we say it gets burned right away? Why don't we have to wait till it becomes noser for it to be burned? After all, it's only a slight disqualification. Hamani Rabbi Eliezer. This is the view of Rabbi Eliezer, the Amr who holds the Chena Shochet Acherim the Shem Pesach. If somebody slaughters a different carbon as a Pesach, it's possible. So if you slaughter, let's say, a Shlamim as a Pesach, if you slaughter a Chatas as a Pesach, he holds that the carbon becomes possible. So therefore, Havali Psula Begufo. Now this is a big disqualification, an intrinsic disqualification. The animal had become a shlamim, automatically. But it was offered as a Pesach. So since it was offered as a Pesach, it's a karban which is being offered as Pesach, therefore becomes disqualified. Says the Gemara, Yirub Eliezer, if this braisa is the view of Rabbi Eliezer, then chatos nami machayit. Then besides the fact that you'd burn this karban Pesach, we should say that if this Erev Pesach, if the Erev Pesach wasn't on a weekday, but it was on Shabbos, and you slaughtered a Karban Pesach where the owners had died, you'd have to also bring a Karban Chatas to Lesa Rebbe Lezer Tor B'Dvar Mitzvah Pater. Rebbe Lezer doesn't hold that if you make a mistake trying to do a mitzvah, you are exempt from a Karban Chatas. El Tzirgum Rav Yosef Breder of Salah Chasidah Kamei Rav Papa. So therefore Rav Yosef, the son of Rav Salah Chasidah, explained it in front of Rav Papa. Hamani, this price says Yosef ben Chonoi. Titzan, because we went in a Mishnah in Zvachim, Yosef ben Chonoi, Omer. Yosef ben Chonoi says, Hanishchatim l'shem Pesach, karbanos that are slaughtered as a Pesach when they're not a Pesach, or l'shem chatas, a carbon which is not a chatas slaughtered as a chatas, psulim are disqualified. So alma psulim begufahu. They would hold here, you have an intrinsic disqualification. Because once the owners died, it automatically became a shlamim. Now that it's slaughtered as a Pesach, you're slaughtering a shlamim as a Pesach, it's intrinsically disqualified. That's why it burned right away. But in regards to being exempt from a karban chatas, in regards to doing it on Shabbos, that a Torah b'dvar mitzvah is exempt. Rav Ashi said another answer. Rav, who allowed you to take a karban ashim you had given to a shepherd and then slaughtered it, it becomes automatically an ola. He holds that without declaring that you're making it an ola, it automatically becomes an ola. Fine, that's what he holds. And that's what the Tan of our Mishnah holds. So Rav de Amar, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan Broka. Rav is holding, like Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yochanan Broka, that a carbon Pesach, whose owners die, automatically will become a shlamet. You don't need to uproot it to make it into a shlamet. And he'll disagree with the Tana of the Brisa. The Tanya is we learned in a Brisa. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan Broka, Omer. Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yochanan Broka, says, if Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, Im Yeshuhus Biyom, if there was enough time to figure out whether the owners had pulled out or not, and he didn't go to find out, and he slaughters it, Chayev, he's Chayev a Karban Chatas. And during the week, if he did it, to Ubar Tsuraso, you have to wait until the animal's meat becomes Nosar, and then Yotzi Lebesas Reifa, and then it gets burned. So my time, what's the reasoning of Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yochanan Broka? Lav Mishum, to Loboy Akira. Presumably it's because he holds you don't need to verbally uproot the status. So therefore the Karban Pesach automatically became a Shlamim once the owners are no longer involved. And then once it's slaughtered on Erev Pesach, it's not an intrinsic disqualification, it's just a Shlamim being brought at the wrong time. That's what you need to have. Ibur Tzura. Says the Gemara Mimai. Who's to say that that's the reasoning? Maybe Mishum de Savarla, maybe because of Mishmael, son of Rebbe Yochanan Broka holds. Ketana de Be'erabba Baravua, the Amaru holds. Afilu Pigol. Nami Boy Ibur Tzura. That even when you have an intrinsic disqualification, you need to first allow it to become Nosar before you burn it. The Yalef Avon Avon me Nosar, because he has a special Xera Shava. Ilo Te Mahach, if you're not going to say this. Nitmu Balim. If the owners of the carbon are tummy, so they have to bring now a Pesach Sheni. So this animal is going to be now a Pesach Sheni. It's not going to be a Shlamim. Ma'ikul Amemar, what are you going to say? Havadei Bayakira. Here, certainly, you need to uproot the status of carbon Pesach. You need to say you're making it a Shlamim to make it a Shlamim. Amar Rav Chiya Bar Gamla, Nizra Kamavi Chabura, Kon Shayu Balam, Tamei Emes, Benitkul Pesach Sheni. Ela Machvarta, so clearly, Kiddushanina Meikara, the right answer is that this is Yosef ben Chonai. This is the view of Yosef ben Chonai. Hajan Allah, Eludvarim, Bez Hashem Yisbarach, Hajan.